Hello, how are you doing, Gene?
Hey, Congressman Lewis, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us this afternoon.
Yeah, happy to do so.
Good. Well, we're here to talk about freedom, and I know that you were awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, our nation's highest civilian honor, and wanted to ask, what does it take to be a voice for freedom, for the civil rights?
The only thing it takes to be a voice for freedom is to be prepared and be willing to speak up for the freedom of all humankind. When you see something that is not right, something not fair, not just, when you see people being mistreated or people being held down because of their class, their race, their religion, or national origin, you have a moral obligation to do something, to find a way to change things. And sometimes you have to use the Bill of Rights, the right to dissent, the right to protest, the right to speak up, to speak out, the right to just be a voice.
Yeah, you know,
be a source of inspiration to others.
Which you certainly have been. One thing I like, and I know Matt was kind of instrumental in this as well, but in your reelection campaign, you use your mugshot with the caption, "Getting into good trouble since 1960. Will there always be a cost to be free?
There will always be a cost, a price to pay to be free. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. You have to pay a price. But even you become free, but you never really become truly free, because there's always a threat to freedom. And you have to continue to struggle to maintain that sense of freedom, not just for yourself, but for others. Because there's always some force or some group trying to take your freedom away or to limit your freedom.
And you mentioned before, just a minute ago, having this courage to stand up. There's the courage within you, and then there's other people around those people who choose to stand up. And I'm curious, what did your parents think when you got involved? I mean, you were young, you were a teenager when you started being a civil rights activist.
When I was much younger, as a teenager, I heard the words of Martin Luther King Jr. on my old radio. It seemed like he was speaking directly to me. I heard about Rosa Parks. I was deeply inspired by what I had heard Dr. King say about what Rosa Parks did. And reading the stories of so many other people, not just in America, but around the world. And I wanted to do something about what I saw. When my mother and father heard that I was sitting in at lunch counters or going on a freedom ride, they thought I was going to get hurt or maybe killed. And they told me not to get in trouble. Don't get in trouble. But I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble to help make our country a better place, but help to free America. And I think because of not just what I tried to do, but hundreds and thousands and millions of citizens, black and white, Latinos, Asian American, Native American, tried to do, our country is a better country, and we are a freer country. But we're not truly there yet. We still have work to do.
There's a lot of context and a lot of imagery that helps us to remember. And of course, speaking out, continuing to promote civil rights and remember it, but also a part of remembering our past has to do with historic preservation, which I know is a subject that's dear to your heart. Specifically, and I know you have your reelection campaign headquarters on Auburn Avenue, what does the historic preservation and the success of Auburn Avenue mean for the future and the legacy of the civil rights movement?
Well, I felt that it was fitting and appropriate to have my reelection campaign office located on Auburn Avenue to send a strong message that this place, this community, this piece of our history must be preserved for generations yet unborn, and that we must save it to inspire others. It's important that we get people to recognize the progress that have been made and the progress we yet have to make. So I believe that those symbols and signs, the buildings, the stones, the institutions along Auburn, they all are important. The message that Dr. King preached from the Ebenezer Church must be told over and over again to our children, and for future generations, they must be told to inspire people. When I travel around the world, people tell me over and over again, they read a book by Martin Luther King Jr. They read the speech that he gave at the March on Washington. And people seen the video, the still photographs. And so they inspire people, whether they're in the Middle East, in Europe, in Africa, or Central or South America. People are still inspired, even today, because of what Dr. King and others did and said during that period.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the feeling of being on Auburn Avenue with all the historic buildings, and it's evident when you're, you know, walking or just driving by and looking, you know that you're in a place that has history. You don't even have to know what that history is, but you kind of want to learn more by being there.
Well, when I walk up and down Auburn or going to certain building, whether it's walking on a sidewalk, you have this feeling that there's something very special, almost sacred, about Auburn Avenue. And there's so many other historic sites in the city of Atlanta, but I do think Auburn Avenue is something very special. It is a gem. It is something that we must come to appreciate, and we got to get our children, our young people, and others to understand, and especially people that moved to Atlanta that hadn't grown up, to understand what they're living among and to understand its history, to take it in, to absorb it, and let it become a part of them.
I think that's a nice segue to progress, and with progress, oftentimes there needs to be, in the way of physical development is tied to cultural development, there needs to be new buildings. And the National Center for Civil and Human Rights will be here in Atlanta. I'm wondering, what sense of pride did you feel with the groundbreaking?
Well, the groundbreaking for the Center for Civil and Human Rights is a significant step down a very long road to create a first-class museum, not just a building, but a living museum that would tell the story, and also where people can feel and almost touch the sense of history, but inspire people not just to live the history of the civil rights movement and the whole movement for human rights, that we inspire others to find a way to make a contribution, a greater contribution, toward the cause of civil and human rights here at home and around the globe.
Turning for a minute to art, which I know is another one of your passions, there's a great sculpture, The Bridge, by Thornton Dial at the John Lewis Plaza in Freedom Park. Can you talk to me for a minute about what that means to you?
It means a great deal to me to have this work of art, this piece that Thornton Dial developed as a tribute to me. Mr. Dial is a very gifted folk artist, growing up in Alabama, working in the steel mill, and he used the tools and the materials around him to develop a beautiful work of art. He's not only a sculptor, but he can paint, he can draw, and he has the ability to depict our history, our struggle. And when I pass by Freedom Park Way, on Ponce Glen, I can see it, and I go there to visit every so often. It means a great deal to me.
I think it's so nice, and the meaning of your struggle and career in promoting civil rights is not lost on me, with giving artists such as Thornton Dial the ability to be able to share their genius with the rest of the world.
Well, without the art, without the painting, the sculpture pieces, the drawings, without music, dance, theater, whatever you want to call it, the civil rights movement would have been like a bird without wings. This somehow, in some way, artists were able to tell us in a great way something about the distance we've come, about our past, our present, but also about our future as a people and as the members of the world community.
What is it about art and music that does that?
Well, there's something beautiful. It's something so beautiful, so profound. There's something special. There's something almost sacred about the art. And sometimes you look at participate in a visit to a gallery or to a theater or to see a dance or hear someone playing an organ, a piano, a horn, or whatever. It pulls you. It inspires you. It educates you. It moves you.
Yeah, it feels to me like you said, it does. It's beautiful, and it's inspiring, and moving, and sometimes you don't even know where it comes. And I know there were a lot of very bleak, angst-filled days, strife during the civil rights movement, but that religion was big to you in helping carry on. And there's something that we don't know about religion, I think, that helps give that inspiration, and sometimes that can take the form and the expression of art, so I agree.
Yes, sometimes when you are involved in appreciation of the arts, it moves people in different ways, different forms. It may move you to laugh, just a smile. It may move you to cry and shed some tears, but it could move you to stand up and make you more determined to continue to engage in a struggle to make things better for all humankind.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I read, unfortunately I wasn't able to be there in person to hear, but I read Pearl Clegg's poem in commemoration of the groundbreaking for the center, and it inspired me to figure out what I want to do to get involved more and to help. So I think you're right. Congressman, I know you're very busy. I promised Matt we'd be at 15 minutes. We're at 16, but I got to tell you, I'm very proud to talk to you, and I'm proud for all that you've done for our country and for freedom and civil rights.
Well, thank you so much. Been an honor, a real pleasure to be interviewed by you. And thank you for all that you're doing. And I appreciate it. And I'm honored that you would take the time to interview me and to make the wonderful contribution that you're making. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and have a great day. And I know who I'll be voting for.
Well, thank you. You have a wonderful day, too.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.